My name is Carla Lewis, and I'm the Gainsborough Branch Manager, and we are going to interview today Mignon Chubb, which is Virginia Mignon Chubb. And we are doing the interview at the Gainsborough Branch of the Roanoke City Public Library System here at the Gainsborough Library in Roanoke, Virginia. Mignon, when and where were you born?
In Roanoke, Virginia, November the 3rd, 1942.
Okay. Tell me about your parents, your brothers, your sisters, and extended family.
Okay. My father's name was Leon Chubb. My mother's name was Prunella Lorraine Delaney Chubb. I have one brother, Richard Lee Chubb, and one sister, Prunella Chubb Wilson.
Okay, can you describe your home life for us?
I had a very, I just had wonderful parents. They always gave you encouragement, telling you you could accomplish whatever you put your mind to. And they had a strong desire for us, for our lives to be better than theirs. They always promoted education and teaching you respect, responsibility, and caring about yourself and your community. My daddy, I have to admire him and my mother. My daddy worked four jobs and never made $10,000. And my mother took in ironing, and she stayed at home until I was in about the eighth grade. And then she started doing domestic work. But she always had time to help you with homework. And she did the discipline because my daddy had so many jobs. And daddy, I guess his parents really punished him severely. So my mother was left up to do all the discipline. Often you hear people say, well, I'm going to wait for your daddy to come home. Well, that wasn't true. And it's not true of any woman in my family, nieces or anything. We just are strong women, and a lot of them have had to raise boys and three or four children on their own. So I guess that comes from our mom. And like I said, just about all the women in our family are like that.
Do you remember when you got your first telephone?
You know, I don't remember the exact date. I know we had it a fairly long time, but of course there was no call ID and voicemail or anything. I would say I had to have been probably in elementary school.
Okay. And what about the radio? Did you all have radio and TV or just radio?
Well, in the early years of my life, we only had the radio. I think probably when I was in junior high school, we got one of those console TVs, and that was put in the living room for us to watch and enjoy. But the radio was really wonderful because it taught you how to listen, and we could discuss things and everything. And we always, on Sunday, even though my daddy worked all the time, we always had to go to church and different things, but we always had time to have a family meal on Sunday. A nice family meal to discuss different things. And we would try sometimes during the weekday as much as possible, but that was kind of hard with him being present with all those jobs.
When you got your first television, did you have neighbors who would come in and sit down around the TV and watch it with you, or did you just do it with your family members?
Just with my family members, because I think most people got televisions around the same time in my neighborhood. And one thing I want to say about my neighborhood, I don't think any of the parents had finished high school or college, but they had this will that they want their young people to do better. Most of them had to drop out because of the depression. Like my parents, they both were in high school, but because of the depression, they had to drop out. They would try to go to night school, but it was just too difficult. And practically everybody in my neighborhood, except for one person, finished high school. And then I found out later that he finished in the military. And I'd say a good 70% of the people in my neighborhood, I might be off a little bit, finished college.
Okay. What kind of activities did you participate in?
Mostly church activities, and you had your friends, but mainly church activities, Sunday school, Bible study. You have Y teams or, you know, the Y and Girl Scouts and different things. Those were the most of the activities that I participated in.
Okay. Did you or your family sit on the front porch in the afternoons after dinner to discuss daily activities or something that happened in the community, or just to sit out and say hi to the neighbors that passed by?
Well, you would sit out just to enjoy the air, because you didn't have air conditioning or anything, you know, in the summertime. A lot of times you would sit out on the porch until very late in the evening to get some cool air. And you would speak to your neighbors. Sometimes another neighbor would be on the porch, and you would chat with them. And all, and everybody in your neighborhood could correct you, in your community, not just in your neighborhood. They saw you doing something wrong, I'm going to tell your mom or you or your daddy. And, you know, it's just so differently today. You just can barely speak to young people.
Okay. What family stories were passed down from one generation to another? Or recipes or jokes or...
Well, my mother's lemon pie, which I'm not a very good cook, so I didn't take that after her, and her meatloaf. My daddy loved to tell stories about Santa Claus. He would sort of exaggerate. He was a great storyteller. I'm sure if he was living today, he would have been a professional storyteller.
Okay. What are your fondest memories of childhood growing up in the Gainesboro area?
Just how people treated you and you were like family. If they saw you getting in trouble, they would correct you or tell someone in your, tell your parents. They weren't afraid to call. If you and another friend were in trouble, they would also, if they needed to, spank both of you. That wasn't a problem either, because when you get home, you would get another one.
What chores did you have to do around your house?
Wash dishes, straighten your room, dust. Those were my main chores.
Okay. Did you live in a brick house or a single-story house, or and did you have a garden or yard that you had in front?
I lived in a single-story house, and my dad always had a garden. And as far as that was the main thing, and it was a brick siding house. It wasn't actually brick like what I live in, but the person at the time they were renting from for a period of time, they put brick siding on it. And eventually they worked real hard and they were able to buy the house and pay, you know, it was paid debt-free, because that was encouraged. Pay all your bills on time. Even if you can't pay the whole amount, make sure you call your creditor to let them know that you can't pay. But it was always taught that responsibility of having good credit.
Did you all eat any food from your garden?
Yes.
And what kind of things did you have in your garden?
We'd have like squash, green beans, salad greens, and occasionally some corn.
And how long did you live in the Gainesboro area?
I'll say until I was about 30 years old, maybe a little. I'd say close to about 30, because I'd finished college and had started working on my master's degree.
And how has the Gainesboro area changed today?
Well, all the redevelopment. They a lot of the people who lived in Lower Gainsborough, their houses were taken for redevelopment, and they moved probably like up in Upper Northwest where I live now. But they just took so much from the area. And often people really didn't get enough to go and buy another house. So that's the change. To me, they just took so much away from African Americans.
Did people at that time own their homes when you were talking about they took a lot of away from African Americans? Did the people own their homes at that time mostly?
From what I don't know about the majority of them, but I know there were some who had paid for those homes because you would hear discussions about it.
Did the people in the Gainsborough community own their own businesses?
Yes, because Henry Street was really, I just call it like a little holy city, because everything was there. You had doctors, you had lawyers, you had the Dumas, the only hotel where African Americans could come and stay. You had the Virginia Theater. That was the movie that you would go to. And my cousin, who was in the medical field at the time, she was 15 years older than me, and she would always come. And that was such a treat, because she was so elegant and professional, and she would take me we'd walk across Henry Street and go to the movie, and then after the movie, we would stop at Jack and Jill's to get a hot dog and some ice cream, and that was just a wonderful time. She just had everything. It was just everything that you could want, the shoe shop, the record shop. And my cousin, my uncle, rather, he had an insurance company. I cannot think of it, but it was right near where Dr. Penn's office was in the Virginia Theater. It's right almost like diagonal from the Dumas, not really across. I guess in a way maybe it was sort of, but my uncle by marriage, he was president of that insurance company.
Do you know the uncle's name by any chance?
Amber Bishop. He died many years ago. And right where they, and then Dr. Downing's office was right across from the Virginia Theater. That was my family doctor, Dr. L.C. Downing at the time.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your education. Where did you go to elementary school?
Harrison Elementary School. And I could walk across all those hills. And I could come home for lunch. If I didn't come home for lunch, I would have a bag lunch.
Did you all ever stay home from school because of snow or rain?
I don't ever remember doing that. Like getting time off. Well, I never rode the bus. All my schools were in my neighborhood, so that wasn't a problem.
Okay. Did you or any member of your family attend college?
Yes. My brother, who's a few years older than me, he finished in my family first.
Can you give us his name?
Richard Lee Chubb. Mm-hmm. And then my sister went to nursing school, but she dropped out because she started her family. And then I'm the youngest, and I finished college.
Yes. Which college did you finish?
I did my undergraduate work at Bluefield State College in Bluefield, West Virginia, and my master's in education from the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay. Do you remember the closing of the silk mills?
No, I don't really remember.
Okay. What jobs were available for African Americans in the community?
Mainly, of course, the Norfolk and Western Railway. That was the big thing. Also, teaching positions. You had your doctors, lawyers, beauticians, barbers, nurses. And I think you had I know a lot of people went into the teaching profession and nursing because all these other jobs that people have today, they were not open to African Americans. I think about my son. He's a product manager at the railroad. Well, and he's 40. But years ago, one of the relatives told him when he got that job, say, "You have a job like a rich white person." But those jobs were not available.
Okay. What are your memories of the Gainsborough Library and Mrs. Virginia Y. Lee?
Oh, it was just always a privilege to come in here. And in the way she would help you, she was always so kind and accommodating. Just a very giving person and want to help you to find anything that she could.
Okay. Describe the cultural events that happened in Gainsborough. For example, do you remember the entertainers coming to the Dumas?
No. Okay. I just, from what I've read and heard, but I don't actually remember them coming.
What were or who were some of the strong community leaders that you remember from the Gainsborough area?
I'm sure there were others, but the one that stands out in my mind is Dr. Harry T. Penn. He was my dentist, but he just cared about people in the community. He lost a lot of money. He tried to open up a dress factory, I believe, and that did not materialize because other so-called black leaders did not pitch in to help. So I would have to say Dr. Harry T. Penn.
Was he also your role model, or did you have another role model?
My parents were my role models, and my aunts and uncles, but my mother and daddy, they were my role models, and my aunt, those were mine.
How was life affected by segregation and the civil rights movement?
Well, I think any time people are treated like second-class citizens, that's not good because I finished Addison High School in 1961. And a lot of, we had handed-down materials. We didn't have things like the other schools. But one thing I must say, all of our teachers looked professional, and you were taught values. You were taught that at home, but when you arrived at school, you were also taught that. And they were just outstanding. Because you wouldn't have, like you see some teachers today, and I'm not putting anybody down. To me, they are not a good example for young people. Some of them, they're already young, but they look like the students. But all of our teachers, men and women, they were all, I mean, just classy. I don't know if she's met Mr. Holland.
Yes.
They would be dressed, and he was one of the volunteers for a mentor program that I had started at one of the schools, but just so professional. And I think that has damaged young people today, too, because, you know, not looking the part, and you're supposed to be a professional.
Did anyone in your family serve in the military?
Immediate family or just family as a whole?
Family as a whole.
Yes.
Can you name that person in which arms?
My first cousin, Douglas Chubb, he was in the Army. Another cousin who was a doctor, Dr. Nathaniel Williams, he's deceased, the Army. Raymond Bishop, these are all first cousins, the Navy. In fact, he just got out not very long ago. Those are the three that I can think about right now.
Do you remember which war they served in?
My cousin Douglas, he was in, he went to Vietnam twice. Raymond, I guess, since he probably was over in Iraq with Saddam several years, whenever, in 1991, whenever they went over to Desert Storm or whatever. My cousin, Nathaniel, I think he was in the Korean War.
Talk about your memories of urban renewal. What effect did it have on your life or the lives of your family members?
Well, it just changed things. When you have that, a lot of black businesses went, they weren't anymore because they couldn't keep up or compete. And when you have changes, someone has to lose. We lost our hospital eventually. And I think that's with desegregation or integration, it was good in a lot of ways, but in some ways, it killed the black entrepreneur because they couldn't survive.
Okay. Mignon, tell us about a memory that you have and you still have that's great to you, that you feel really good about in the Gainesboro area. You told us some of the memories that you had about sitting on the front porch mm-hmm. and different things. Do you have one major one that just sticks in your mind that you can tell us about, that you tell others when you meet and greet other people from the area? Something that happened?
I can't think of any. The only thing that keeps coming back to me is just the unity we had, that people could just, if they saw you doing something wrong, they could correct you. And you would know just about everywhere you go, you'd see people out on the porch, you would say, hi. You know, you just knew, it really felt like family, and you felt protected. Now where I live, I rarely ever know my neighbors. I mean, you just don't feel, you don't have that comfort feeling. I guess that would be the positive thing.
Okay.
Just knowing people and feeling comfortable to walk in the area and in the area as a whole, you know?
Okay. Now, we have covered a lot of questions. Is there anything we didn't cover that you would like to tell us about? I know you said you were Teacher of the Year when you were at Addison Aerospace School. Can you tell us a little bit about your teaching experience and the gratification?
Well, I had a lot of wonderful students and parents to work with. And I always try to encourage students to have self-discipline. If I discipline you, it's because I care about you. If people let you do whatever you want, they really don't care about you. Discipline is showing people that you love them. And when I went to Wasina Elementary School, which is in Southwest Roanoke, a couple other teachers and I, when they desegregated all the schools in the Roanoke Valley, I was one of the first teachers to go there. And I was there for about 13 years. And some of my parents at the time, they really weren't used to having an African-American as a, you know, teaching. They had a lot of African-Americans working in their homes. But as time went on, at Wasina, in 1980 or 81, I took a group of my sixth graders and parents to France and Italy for 10 days. And we had a wonderful time, and everybody in the group, they just couldn't believe it. The children asked questions. They did everything. It was just a wonderful, unique experience. At Wasina Elementary School, I also the Social Studies Teacher of the Year Award. And I just got a lot of recognition for that. And because of my parents and students, it wasn't me alone. I had such wonderful parents who really encouraged and worked with you. The projects that we would do, because the Roanoke Times, I know, for several years, they would have something about African-American history projects that I would do, or the World's Fair. But that was all because I had such wonderful parents. They were working harder than the students to make the programs turn out well, because she would have people from the community. We would get acknowledgments from the governor and all, and we would have senators and different people to come to our activities and everything.
Thank you. Thank you, Mignon, for participating in the Gainesville Oral History Project. Now, is there anything before we close, anything else you would like to tell us?
I would like to say I thoroughly enjoyed working at the General Assembly with Doug Wilder was our Lieutenant Governor at the time, and that was really a unique experience, meeting and talking and seeing the operation of the General Assembly and the bills and everything. And I believe, which I'll show you, I have a picture. One of my parents, she brought a couple of students down to see me while I was working in Richmond. And I've had a lot of wonderful experiences. But that was, and see, this is, but recently, one of the most exciting things that I've done in 2006, I went through the Roanoke Citizen Police Academy. And that was just exciting. And now another retired teacher and I, we're getting ready to join the alumni, and we're going to help with the Senior Citizens Academy. And that was really an eye-opener.
What are those? Can you just describe it a little bit? You said what is the police academy that you completed?
They teach you the operation of the police department. They show you about the tactical team, how the dogs are used, the horses. I went target practice, and I rode a high-speed chase. I did the ride-along where I had on a bulletproof vest and a radio, and my officer say, "Mrs. Hill, if I get hurt, you have to know how to call on the radio." And then they told us about that drug enforcement team, Homeland Security, and all. And that was just marvelous. I would recommend that to any citizen to participate in. If they don't want to do the regular one like we did, they could do the senior citizens one. Somebody even asked, "Are you interested in being on the police?" I say, "No, I'm too old." But that was just exciting. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I've encouraged some of my other friends in other cities. If they like excitement, they might want to try doing that. But it was just wonderful.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Mignon. I really appreciate your participation. And we will close out now. And I want to say thank you one more time.
And thank you.